If you would, please, turn with me to the book of Philippians. We're going to go to chapter 3, and we're reading verses 7 through 16. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 16. If you're using the Bibles in front of you, you will find that on page 832. And this is what God's Word says. But whatever was profit to my profit, I consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for those for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I might gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God is by faith, and I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Now that I have already obtained, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Wonderful passage of Scripture. Look forward to hearing what God has to say to us through His messenger this morning. God bless.
The amazing grace of God. It's the amazing grace of God that can set us free from the chains of sin, that can set us free from anything that Satan would try to use to enslave us. And we certainly rejoice in that today. If you have your Bibles with you, and I pray that you do, I'm going to ask you to open up to the book of Philippians, the book of Philippians, chapter 3. This morning I want to speak to you on the subject of a fresh beginning. As we come to the flurry that happens at the closing of every year, I don't know about you, but I'm glad for a God who gives us a fresh start. As I shared with the early service this morning, totally different message, but nonetheless I shared with them the fact that God is the God of the new. He is the God of giving fresh opportunities. Every minute begins with a brand new second. Every day begins with a brand new hour. Every week begins with a brand new day. And every month begins with a brand new day. And at the beginning of every year, we get an opportunity to have a fresh move and a fresh start to a year that we have no idea what it will hold in store for us. And none of us does. We have no idea whether next year we will be meeting together in a forum like this, or if the Mayans will have gotten it right by then. We have no idea when Jesus Christ might come back and we will get to go and be in the presence of our Heavenly Father in a brand new eternity that will begin in the twinkling of an eye. But until that time comes, we have a fresh opportunity. We have a fresh start. And the Apostle Paul, in this particular passage of Scripture in Philippians chapter 3, kind of talks about that. And as we look at verses 7 through 16 of this third chapter, I want you to notice that there are several things that the Apostle brings out that we should focus on and pay attention to. First of all, we should focus on forgetting the past successes. We should focus on the surpassing value of what is in the future. We should focus on the supremacy of the resurrection. We should focus on the stretching forward or towards tomorrow. And then we should focus upon the standards for godly living. And so as we look at this, at these particular elements of this, we ought to thank God for the fact that He's given us a fresh opportunity, a fresh start, a fresh chance to be what God would have us to be. And as a church, we need to look at this, what lies upon the horizon for us is a fresh opportunity to reach out to the lost, to bring them to an opportunity to find Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, to bring them to a point of faith so that they can discover the joy of the love of God and the love of Christ. We need to establish, if you will, some goals. We need to establish goals personally. It was an interesting thing. I had asked people this morning, how many here are going to make a New Year's resolution? And a couple of hands went, I don't want to raise it too high. Might not like New Year's resolutions. Well, I'm making New Year's resolution. And that New Year's resolution that I'm making is to be every day a little closer to Jesus Christ than what I've been the day before. That the walk of my life might be a greater witness because of my commitment to Him and my commitment to His values. And so I'm committing in that New Year's resolution to follow Christ more closely than I've ever followed Him in my past. And I hope that each of us will make some type of a future-focused change in our lives so that we can build the body of Christ. And we build the body of Christ by allowing ourselves to be built by Him and then following His will and His directives. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul was talking about. I want you to notice the very first thing, we read it in verse 7, that Paul says there's one of the things in a fresh beginning is that we have to forget the past. Notice that 7th verse. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Paul had attained a great stature. Paul had really gained quite a reputation. And that was early on in the church. You'll know that his reputation was that he aggressively attacked the church. He aggressively attacked men and women and children who were going to be followers of Jesus Christ. He aggressively persecuted those who were followers of the way until he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And there was an earth-shattering moment in his life where faith sprung up. And in the midst of that faith, there came commitment. And he was willing to throw away all of the successes that he had had as a Pharisee. He was willing to throw away that old reputation that he had built in the world in order that he might gain the reputation of Christ being his God. And so he says, look, forgetting those things which are behind, forget those successes. What have you attained in life? Are you willing to forget past achievements in order to gain future hope and to produce a life that honors God in every fashion and in every step? gain a proper perspective as to what God expects of you. Do you know you have been bought with a price? God Himself has invested His blood in you in order that you might be made over into the image of Himself. He will not force you into His mold. But I'll tell you what, when you determine to follow Him and allow yourself to be pressed into the mold of Christ, life takes on brand new meaning, and brand new perspective. The successes of the past are not going to bring the proper perspective of the future. And so Paul says, look, those things that were gained to me, all that reputation, all of that fame, all of that money, all of that stuff, I counted as loss in order that I might gain Christ. Secondly, if we are to have a fresh beginning, we need to have a suppressing value of the future. Look at verses 8 and 9. He says, more than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. The surpassing value of the future, you see. The value of knowing Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. The surpassing value of the future. You see, there was a passion that Paul had developed in his life that came from his commitment to Christ, and that was to be more and more like Jesus every day, that he might have a future, and that he might have a hope. I was kind of looking at one of the checkout things, and I don't know if you ever look at those magazines or not, but one of the checkouts I was looking, and I don't know whether it was people or us or time or what it was, but it was one of those issues that shows all of the people of notoriety that had died within the last year, within this year. And, you know, I couldn't help but think, I wonder what each of them would say to us if they were able to communicate to us now. Would they look at us and say, yeah, I had fame. I had fortune. I had everything that this world had. But I missed God. And now I have nothing. What is important to you? Is it friends? Is it popularity? Is it the praise of men? Is it power? Is it authority? None of that stuff matters. You know what does matter? A future. A value on the things that God values here will produce in us His blessing hereafter. You know, it's kind of sad when you do look at all of those who have passed, who had all of the fame, all of the wealth, and how few of them had any kind of a relationship with God. And it demonstrated itself in the language that they used, in the movies or the songs that they did, demonstrated itself in the way that they spoke in so many different fashions. They weren't looking towards or having a surpassing value of the future. But Paul says, look, I count all of these things loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And that word knowing means in having intimacy with. In other words, Paul wanted intimacy with God more than anything in his life. All of the other stuff was worthless. What are you chasing? Are you chasing the American dream? The American dream will send you to hell. Faith in Jesus Christ will give you life and a hope and a future. Chase after God with everything that you've got, and you'll be blessed. The third thing is we need to focus on the supremacy of the resurrection. Look at verses 10 and 11. As Paul is continuing here, he talks about the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. He says this, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. You notice that Paul was all about Christ in this passage. It was all about being awed, A-W-E-D, being filled with awe over the power and the glory of Jesus Christ and how death could not hold Him. But the glory and the power of the resurrection can produce in people's lives hope for a better future. Hope for tomorrow's world. You listen to the news, and so do I. Not a lot of hope out there. Maybe we need to just listen to God and realize that He is the God of hope and that He offers us what no newscaster can, and that is eternal life. That He offers to us a future that will be filled with joy and peace, comfort and wisdom and understanding, love and grace forever. No human can offer you that, but Jesus Christ can. So if you're chasing the American dream, I'm going to tell you at the end of that dream comes a nightmare. Because that dream can't save you. But if you chase after Jesus Christ with everything that you've got, Jesus says, I'll not throw you out. But instead, I will come to you and have fellowship with you. You with me. What's important? A fresh beginning means that we understand there is a supremacy of the resurrection because the Jesus Christ who rose from the dead promises us that kind of power at the moment that the trumpet sounds. And whether we're alive or whether we're dead, the promise is for a body that will live forever, never have pain, suffer, never have sorrow, never have anything. that is going to be negative. He gives us a hope. The fourth thing in a fresh beginning is that it gives us an opportunity to stretch towards tomorrow. Look at verses 12 through 14. Paul says, "Not that I have obtained it already or have already become perfect." And by the way, I want you to understand this. What he's talking about here is he's just said in verse 11, "In order that I might attain to the resurrection from the dead." And so the state of perfection that he is talking about here is that perfect glorified body. And he says, look, I've not attained that yet. I've not been killed. I've not been raised. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which I was also laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as to having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, I am stretching towards a future. And towards a hope, and towards a changed life that's going to produce eternal life. When that glorified body happens, we will be made perfect. We can be perfect now in our intent and in our motives to serve God. And to love Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And to love our neighbor as ourself. If we're not willing to do that, then we're calling God a liar. Be awfully careful about calling God a liar. You'll have to answer for it. Because God has declared in His Word that that's going to be the minimum standard for life in heaven. What are the two great commandments? Or what was the greatest commandment of all, Jesus was asked. And he said the greatest commandment, which is not a suggestion, commandment is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And he said, and the second is equal to it, and that is to love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. It's not an impossible goal. But it can only be possible when we are fully sold out to Jesus Christ. And so that's what Paul is talking about here. He says, look, I haven't gotten that resurrection perfection yet. But I'm going to stretch. And I'm going to reach into the future. And I'm going to strive with everything that's in me because there's a goal out here. And that when I reach that goal, there's a prize. And that prize is the upward call of God. That trumpet will sound, and I'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, to go and meet the Lord in the clouds. That upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Folks, be striving for that upward call now by reaching towards the future with hope and with commitment to Jesus Christ. And the prize will be yours. And then finally, Paul closes this by giving us a little bit of the standards of living. As he begins that 15th verse, he says this, "Let us therefore, as many as are perfect." Now, isn't that interesting? He just said that I'm not. I haven't reached, already become perfect. But then he turns right around and said, as many as of us as are perfect. And so what's he talking about? He's talking about the standard of perfection, which is what? A heart that is sold out to God unquestioningly and uncompromisingly in order that he might obtain the prize of God. in the upward call. And so he says, let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. I'm going to reach forward. I'm going to reach for the future. I'm going to forget the successes of the past. I'm going to trust in the surpassing value of the future. I'm going to believe in the supremacy of the resurrection. I'm going to stretch towards the future. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. Stretching, reaching, believing, trusting, moving towards the future. As many as are perfect have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that to you. If your attitude is not right, if your attitude is not directed towards this prize of the goal and working towards what God has for you, God will reveal that also to you. That's called growth. And those areas where I'm falling short, in those areas where I'm failing or I don't have wisdom yet, God's going to show me and He's going to lead me and He's going to help me to become better and better and better and better as life goes on. And He says, however, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Don't slide backwards in your faith and in your relationship with God. Instead, continually press forward. How do we slide backwards? By not guarding our attitudes. By not guarding our faith. By walking away from our commitments. Our commitments to God and our commitments to one another. Those kinds of failures slide us back. Where apostasy comes from. Apostasy is nothing more and nothing less than not having complete faith, trust, and confidence in God and in His abilities to produce change in our lives. Folks, we stand at the door of a brand new year, brand new opportunities, a year that's going to be filled with hope, a year that's going to have some bumps. But we can follow through with the God who loves us and holds us if we'll be faithful to Him. He'll help us to overcome all of the bumps by giving us a fullness of His joy. Would you please stand? I'm going to ask you at this time, if you would, please take your hymnals. Open up to number 43. Number 43. If you're here this morning and you'd have to say, you know, I've not been looking towards the new year with any kind of hope, with any kind of faith. I have listened too much to the news, and I haven't paid attention to the good news of Jesus Christ. Maybe now is the time for you to get a fresh perspective, to be able to look forward to the future with hope and with joy. So if God is speaking to you about needing to have a fresh perspective, I invite you to come as we sing number 43, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Our gracious Father, how we thank You. We thank You for Your faithfulness to us and for the fresh opportunities that You give us day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, second by second. Every one of us will carefully guard the gift that You have entrusted us with, the gift of salvation. And that as we enter in to a brand new life, a brand new year, Father, may each one of us continually take evaluation of our walk, our personal walk, not everyone else's, our personal walk, so that we might see whether we're reaching the goal or whether we're turning our back. And so, Father, fill us with hope, with joy and love, with praise, and we'll give you thanks. For it's in your incredible and awesome name we pray. Amen.